Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to another edition of the Shotgun Start. Today is Friday, March 22nd. Shane, how are we doing?
You know, if people don't like me, they're going to hate this week, man. They're like, two times and two different hosts? I also wonder what the loyalists think when you open the show. Are they thinking that terrible happened to Porath, or he got fired, or I wonder what's going through their brains?
I think they think that a disaster is ensuing because Brendan is definitely the more prepared podcast host of the two of us on a regular basis. The show wouldn't work at all without Brendan. I have to say, he keeps the show moving so much. I can't do the type of prep he does. It is a He's so ready for every episode. So it's always when he's not here, I'm like, God, this is so much work putting this together, getting this ready.
I got to read the date and everything. And hey, it's Victory Thursday when we're recording this. A little Victory Thursday for the both of us.
I'll tell you what. You're an Arizona alum. I'm an Illinois alum. We both had early games. I feel like that Thursday early game window, they're both high seeds. You're 2 seed, we're 3 seed. That's just the prime time for like a big upset, and it's the most stressful. It's so stressful.
Just, you know, I mean, obviously Arizona's, you know, struggled early in the tournament the last few years.
Getting
through that first. Wait, did I hear that Illinois had made, had they not made an Elite Eight since that game against Arizona in 05? Is that right?
Yeah, they haven't made it to the second weekend in a long
since
05.
Time. Is that right?
No, they made it against Washington a couple years. Maybe made it against Washington. I think they did.
That's just crazy considering how good they were. And then like Arizona, you know, I mean, what's so funny about Arizona basketball is it has this incredible reputation. We haven't made a Final Four since 2001. I mean, that is a long time ago. You're talking like early prime Tiger era then is when Arizona was actually very good at basketball. So nice to get the first win. Nice just to get through it. If you lose in the round of 32, even if it's an upset, you don't get piled on, but if you lose that first game after what happened with Princeton last year, it would have been a harder recording for me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about these games, like both of our teams kind of struggled early out of the gates.
Yes,
it's
gosh.
Not, it's the worst. It's the worst when they're just hanging around. You know how these, like, I feel like at this point in my life, I've watched the tournament enough, and you just, like, see the recipe of one of these teams that pulls an upset, and it's like, you know, they get off to a good start and then they believe that they're just as good. And it's yeah. So thankfully for both of us, they had good second halves and pulled away. And, you know, it has me thinking about the next round. So the next weekend and maybe trying to go, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
Andy, I got to throw this your way. It came across my radar about an hour ago. And I thought to myself, I'm going to be on Shotgun Start. This is perfect Shotgun Start fodder. It's historic.
Yes.
Did you see this? Historic moment in golf history.
I'm more prepared than I'm usually for the show. I'm having to fill poor ass shoes. So I'm looking for all these little things and I saw this.
Will you tell people what it was, what the tweet said?
All right. There are seven Kevins in the field this week at the Valspar.
Shout out Monica Geller, literally 7 Kevins involved in this event. Now, I have a question for you.
Have they overtaken the Cameron?
Do you have a friend named Kevin? Do you have a buddy that you name that's named Kevin?
Yeah, I have a friend named Kevin.
And then who's your favorite Kevin of all time? This was my next question to you.
Do you have a friend named Kevin? While I think about that.
I have a friend named Kevin. We call him Kev, which I feel like is most of the time. He still would have made the graphic. I was thinking my favorite Kevin. So the first one didn't end well. Kevin Brown. Do you remember the pitcher named Kevin Brown back in the day? He was on the Rangers forever. So when I grew up,
What about KJ? What about Kevin Johnson?
Well, see, but I wasn't a Suns guy. I mean, I grew up in East Texas. I mean, I was like a Mavs guy.
Yeah, but he was awesome. I feel like Kevin Johnson was like the modern NBA guard before the modern NBA guard.
Totally, totally. And then he got into politics, and who the hell knows how that went. But kind of up
He's
in your area, right?
Politician?
Yeah, yeah. We got into politics.
Oh, wasn't he like a mayor of Sacramento?
Sacramento, I believe.
Oh, God.
But so Kevin Brown was this pitcher that would bare hand balls that got hit back to him all the time. And as a kid growing up playing baseball all the time, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Now, I don't think his reputation went well post his career. I think he might have been a steroid guy. Now, again, this is just rough. This is all me roughly remembering about the guy. I don't think he had a great, like, shining just, reputation on the
you're
post.
You're lobbing steroid accusations out there. I'm not saying,
I think he was in that bubble. I'm pretty sure he's in that bubble. Maybe he wasn't. Sorry if you weren't Kevin Brown. Don't come after me. But I also have a Kevin that I feel like lately has been in my life, and that is that my son was obsessed with Home Alone for about 4 months. And Kevin's the main character. So that might be my favorite Kevin.
Kevin? What about Kevin Bacon?
Get asked a lot. Now, not my favorite Kevin, because everybody that meets me goes, you related? Like, no, not related.
Had to ask.
They got it. They always got to throw it my way. So is Kevin Johnson your favorite? Is that your number one go-to?
I mean, the Bulls played the Suns in that finals. I thought KJ was so cool. I feel like KJ was like the... KJ walked so that Penny Hardaway could run, you know,
that's a great point, like the
arch of like who was cool. Kevin Johnson was just like the precursor to Penny Hardaway, who, I mean, Penny Hardaway was like, God, that guy was like the coolest basketball player back then.
I was obsessed. I had my whole, like, every poster in my room was Penny Hardaway. I had both the little Penny dolls. I still have the Penny shoes, like in my little shoe room or whatever. I mean, I was obsessed with Penny Hardaway.
Hey, so that's the basketball and Kevin minute. The Kevins, by the way, are Kisner, Streelman, Tway, you, Wah, Patrick Wah's kid, Doherty, and Alwyn. Alwyn?
Alwyn. Also, as of this recording, Kevin is leading. As of this recording. Kevin Streelman is leading the golf tournament.
Streel's doing it on a Thursday, not a Sunday.
There you go. Streel's out there doing it. That's fun. That was a tweet that made me laugh. That's what I'm looking for on weeks like this. Do something silly and ridiculous. I don't need you talking about Thursday at the Valspar. Just give me some Kevin info on Twitter and let me know about records breaking.
I guess there's Kevin odds now that you can bet on. You know, there's like Kevin leaderboards, Kevin specific leaderboard tracking. Sick. So it's exciting. This is, I mean, the Cameron Zone. This is upending the Cameron Zone. You know, if you want your kid to play on the PGA Tour, name him Kevin.
out is Cameron, in is Kevin. Andy, how much golf have you watched lately? I feel like with the travel. And with you not feeling good, I know you mentioned on the pod on Wednesday with Brendan that you watched a decent amount on Sunday of the players, but you were napping in and out of it. Have you watched much golf? Or is this like the biggest break you've had in the last couple of years in terms of pro golf consumption?
I watched Bay Hill on Sunday and Saturday. Saturday night, we watched it in a pub. That was fun. It's amazing over there how it's on in the prime time. Like,
it's the best.
Yeah. So... I don't know. No, it's definitely not the least I've watched.
Okay. I know you recommitted last year to making sure you watched more pro golf.
Today, I'm not going to lie. I've been watching the NCAA tournament. I've been watching the Valspar.
No, this is an absolute let's take this week off. I understand that they have it on the schedule. Hopefully going forward, whenever the world of golf becomes whatever the next world of golf will be, this is a take the week off week in pro golf. Absolutely no reason for this to be going against the best weekend and week of sports potentially of the entire year.
I also think it's just a good idea to take the week off of your biggest event.
After the Players, absolutely.
It makes the Players bigger then, because it extends how long people are going to be talking about Scotty.
It's a great point.
In the event. It is a smart thing to do for your event if you want to make that event worth more money.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely insane. Insane that we have designated events or signature events, whatever they're called.
It's signature now.
After the Masters,
I'm convinced it's signature at this point.
You've got one the week after the Masters, and then the week after the U.S. Open, you go to the Travelers. Like, you go to Cromwell, Connecticut, and Harbortown. The week after the two biggest majors in America.
I mean, those events are awesome. Like, I love Harbortown, and I absolutely love the Travelers. But yeah, to your point, that week off would make us continually talk about the U.S. Open and the Masters and things like that. It's a great point, and
not to mention,
never really thought about.
Those events are never going to feel big after those events.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how do you get to Sunday of the Travelers and go, oh, wow, let's get super excited about this after we just ran through Pinehurst and whatever happened on Sunday there. Andy, before we get too off track, I do want to say to your point about the like late night pub watching of golf, maybe two of my favorite moments watching golf in my life. One was 06. I was in St. Andrews caddying, and that was when the U.S. Open happened at Wingfoot with Phil and Colin Montgomery. I was at the Dunvegan.
And Jeff Ogilvy. You know, you forgot.
Ogilvy won. But I'm saying, like,
You're burying the lead here.
I think Jeff Ogilvy is unfortunately maybe the third storyline of that U.S. Open, even though he went on to win. But
you know what? You know what's crazy? I think about the Ogilvys, that Wingfoot won so much because of all the interviews I did with Ogilvy. And the other day, not on the Ireland trip, before the Ireland trip, I was playing, and I really wanted to make a birdie on 18, and I hit it in this divot. And the guy I'm playing with was like, oh, no, you could take it out. And I was like, no, but that I couldn't do, like, I couldn't hit a cool shot. And I remembered back to exactly what Ogilvy said about the 18th hole at Wingfoot. Obviously, he's in the divot. He said, I hit a perfect shot from the divot. But I forgot to calculate that when you hit it out of a divot, it's going to fly 4 to 6 yards shorter with a mid iron.
Interesting.
And so that's why it landed on. He's like, I thought I flagged it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it spun off. You know, it hits the front, spins off. So I was in the moment, and I literally thought about him saying that. And I took an extra club, and I hit it to like 10 feet and made the birdie.
Nice. It was, look at you.
But it was crazy thinking about golf history and then listen, like recalling back. It's just, I didn't know that about divots until he said that. That if you're hitting a pro shot from a divot, like, it's not going to fly as far. It's a fascinating, it's a very, very valuable tip.
Yeah, well, I will good say. On you. Did you make birdie?
Yeah, I made birdie.
That a boy.
It's a good birdie.
I agree with you on the late night golf watching when you're across the pond is like it. You talk about like buttoning up great days when you've had like a great day of golf and you go to the pub on the back end and golf's on at night. It is just, I don't know how you can have a better day when there's good golf on at night after getting a chance to play some unbelievable course in Scotland or England or Ireland or wherever, you know?
So the first one was the Wingfoot. What was your second?
Oh, I went on this trip, this like fam kind of media trip to Scotland a few years ago. And like, trying to think, like Ashley Mayo was on it. I think Koenig was on it. And Solly was on it from No Laying Up. We were at the hotel in Edinburgh leaving that next day. And we were watching the Spieth Travelers final round when he chipped in out of the bunker.
Was that Berger? Was that Berger?
Yeah, Berger Spieth. And this was like, this was pre-streaming being as good as it is now. So we were like illegally streaming it on an iPad. It kept crashing out and it would crash back in and like somebody'd miss a birdie putt. And we were all going nuts. And it was like 30 minutes that I'll never forget of, you know, 11 p.m. at a hotel watching, you know, again, one of the great golf shots that anybody's ever hit. And of course, like being next to Solly, who's at that time, Twitter was like hot, hot, hot. So him and I are like tweeting all the time about it, even though we're like intermittently getting it shown and then kind of kicking off of the stream and having to find a new stream. But late night golf, always a win.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's why there should be so many events on the West Coast in the middle of summer. Yeah, it should just be, honestly, with the money that they're going to get, I would consider building tournament venues if I was the PGA Tour on the West Coast, so you could just have this like primetime product in the middle of summer when you have very little competition. Your competition is baseball.
Yep.
Golf could really own the summer. And the way you do it is you get better TV windows. But anyways, let's do a little, we got Whip Around Wednesday usually. This is going to be Fly By Friday.
Oh, look Fly at By you. Friday. Did you come up with that yourself? Did you write that down?
I just thought about it a second ago. I was
trying, real quick, Andy,
I mean, it has to be alliteration.
Before we get to Fly Around or Fly By Friday, I just had to let you, of all people, know this. We have a Kevin leading the Valspar right now and a Kevin in DFL. So both ends. We're bookended by Kevins.
Kisner's DFL, isn't he? I saw he was not doing well. It's all right. Tournament talk. We've been talking the tournament. I got to ask. Are you missing the match play right now?
Oh, absolutely. I actually wrote, like 2,000 words about this the other day and didn't really, it was one of those, I don't know if you do this or not, but sometimes I'll just write when I'm thinking about something.
Yeah.
And
it's a great way to get your thoughts down.
It's insane to me. This is basically what I was saying, is it's crazy and insane to me that the highest tier of pro golf now basically, and I don't want to use the term ignores, but doesn't play one of the two formats that the sport basically exists in, right? I mean, there's stroke play, match play,
the,
and everything else.
The format that the sport the game was originated in.
Right, right. But, like, it's just now we just don't have it at all, which is so wild. I was thinking about this, Andy. You and I are always the type of people that are, like, trying to throw out ideas. What could make this better? How could it exist in a better world? The match play, to me, feels like it could be in the off season as like a random event, almost like the Volvo back in the day when you'd invite 16 or
I mean,
you know, eight
the
guys.
The Volvo should exist.
Volvo should exist.
Freaking an awesome event. It's like, oh yeah, are you interested in watching like the eight best players in the world play a match play tournament?
Yep. When you go through the winners of it too, Andy, I mean, especially early into it, it was like Arnold Palmer won the first one. It was Gary Player playing Peter Thompson,
Els won it like five times.
Seven times Ernie won it. I looked it up. Seven times he won it.
Monty won it a few times.
Yep. Seve. I mean, it was just like Jack won it once. It just was great. And I feel like in the off season, you could put together something like this and bring people together. And I think if you do it in the off season, when there's not a lot of travel going on, you can go back to that elimination part of match play, which makes it great, where if you lose, you go home and it's like, all right, man, like you just cut this trip a little bit shorter. But I do feel like you throw it in the middle of a schedule and it is tough to convince guys when you really think about the travel and all those things, which I love that pro golfers complain about travel and then these guys travel like all, I mean, Shane Lowry is playing like halfway across the world right now. You know, I mean, he played the Players last week, right?
And like in their off weeks, they like travel places.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they love to say they don't like to travel and they all travel all the time. If it's not for a tournament, it's media obligation or whatever the case may be. But I just feel like maybe the match play could exist in the off season, whatever the off season is going to look like. And you make it extremely limited and you put together the best players in the world. But I just don't think match play should go away. That seems silly to me about in terms of golf.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. I think there should be a match play part of the season. There should be like a, I don't know.
It should be the playoffs, Andy. Like the playoffs and match play to me go hand in hand. It's like you could have that. Like think about this tournament right now in terms of basketball. It's like you dwindle down the field until you get to four, and that's a huge accomplishment if you make the final four. And I just feel like we kind of missed the boat on match play for the playoffs, and at least that would differentiate it. But I mean, I think you and I have banged this drum long enough about the playoffs and match play making a lot of sense.
All right, Tiger's in the Masters next Fly By Friday.
There you go.
What do you think? Anything? You got any takes for that?
I mean, I expected him to play, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised he's playing. I mean, I haven't looked at the weather as we sit a couple of weeks out, but you know, I mean, I go back to this a lot. He needs a Zach Johnson Masters. Like he needs it to be kind of nasty and gross.
I feel like
firm.
He needs it to be hot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, he needs it
to
play.
We need him to get to that stage where he's changing shirts every three holes.
Yeah. Southern Hills 2.0, but make it in Augusta. And just, like, he needs it to be hard and hot and that type of temperament. And I hope if that's the case, I think he could play well. I mean, other than that, the thing about Tiger, Andy, and you and I've mentioned this multiple times, like, he hasn't been competitive in any of these tournaments he's played in basically since the injury, right? I mean, he shot a great round at Riv last year. Was that last year when he shot 67 in the third round or whatever?
Second or third round, he played really well.
But it's like, other than that, it's been a lot of like starting and stop. And I remember, you know, doing the Masters.com coverage and he shot that great second round and to make the cut a couple of years ago when I think he shot 70. But there's a massive difference in shooting 70 in the Masters and shooting 66 and being competitive. And so, yeah, he's in the field. I'm excited about it. Obviously, I mean, Tiger being involved is great, but I'm still kind of waiting for that first four round performance from Tiger, that if there's going to be hope going forward, it gives us that hope.
I think cool thing to watch is I think he co-holds the consecutive cuts made record now.
Right.
So he got that last year. This could be, you know, when you talk about Tiger's career in men's professional golf, him making the cut and setting a new record, this could be one of the last, if not the last record. So that's just something
point.
To watch.
Yep,
Cabrera, the visa got denied. Cabrera,
is that right? Is he out?
He's out. He's out.
There you go. Didn't I'll say this, if you're asking me, did I expect to see Tiger at the Masters, I wouldn't say I'd expected to see Anhel. So there you go.
I mean, that was a good undercard. You know, you got Tiger and the undercard's Anhel. Will he get in? You know, he's invited.
Hey, let me throw something at you.
Here's a question. Did Augusta know they could invite him, and then did they turn around and tell the State Department to deny the visa?
Avoid the drama. Let's minimize the amount of drama. Andy, we are 21 days, I think, as we record this from the start of the Masters. Who's the international player? Who's the veteran player that Tiger's paired with on Thursday, Friday?
Oh, that's a great question.
We got Neiman, I think, last year might have been Neiman. I know JT's been in there once over the last couple of years. Are you looking up tee times right now?
I'm just looking up the Masters field, you know? I would say, I mean, they're going to put him in a premier group.
For sure.
So it's got to be a pretty big name. Like, Neiman obviously jumps off the page. I mean, I don't think it will be like Griot. What about Hideki? He's playing well. Two former champions. Is that too much star power in one? Minwoo Lee's
a great call. I love that. So he was with Victor Hovland and Xander last year for the first two rounds. I mean, that's heavy hitting stuff, right? I mean, those are big names.
Yeah. What about Marunk?
I don't see that. I don't see Marunk. Do you see that or no?
I mean, the guy just played with him at St. Andrews. Remember that practice round?
2022, it was Louis and Joaquin playing with Tiger. So gives you kind of an idea of, you know, how international it is around Tiger when they play in the Masters for the first time.
I mean, I could see like Sahith, even though he's an American, you know, I could see that as another.
And I could see like a Højgaard in there too. Like, I feel like that would make a decent amount of sense following kind of what we're seeing from the young international player.
What about the piss bear?
I don't think so. I don't think a late addition to the field is going to get in there with T-Dub. But I mean, again, like one of the things I love about the Masters tee times versus all the other major championships is they do try to spread out the wealth as good as anybody else in golf. And I feel like when you spread out the wealth, you don't have the biggest names all paired together. And I think the Masters does the best job of that of any of the majors.
You know who this is good for? Patrons.
Great for the patrons, great for the TV window, both early and late. You get a great mix of those players. I will say this, Andy, I know we're going to talk about Masters in a bit. I think it's going to be shocking on Thursday this year, more than last year, of how many big names are playing golf in this golf tournament. Like, I feel
they're never together. They're only going to be together for it. I mean, that's the thing that this fighting's doing, is it's just making these events so much bigger.
Totally.
All right. next on Fly By Friday. I think Fly Around Friday is better.
I think you've said it different like four times right now.
It could be Fly Over Friday. We're flying over the news.
I like that a lot.
JB Holmes, WD's,
yeah,
minutes.
Saw that. What happened?
Before the start of the round. I don't know if you listened to Wednesday's episode.
I did listen to Wednesday.
When Porath decided to detonate on Holmes.
He got deep into him. Was it Porath that said he shouldn't be allowed to play pro golf anymore?
Well, I think I said that if you try and sandbag a local member guest, then you shouldn't be allowed. It should be conduct unbecoming if you lose your tour card.
If you're JB Holmes, I know you're not Victor Hovland and you're not Jordan Spieth, but golf fans know who you are. Andy, you and I go to golf courses and people know who we are. If they know who we are, they're absolutely going to know who JB Holmes is. Like, what did he think was going to happen? He Bobby Valentine's that whole situation? Like, what are we doing here?
Do you think there should be a penalty for his late withdrawal?
Yes! Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think there should be a Porath penalty and an Andy penalty, like you guys said. And then, yeah, I mean, I think if you pull out last minute and it hurts the field in any regard, I think there should be a slight penalty for sure.
All right. Next on Fly By Friday, Fly Around Friday. We got a bunch of stuff at the Fried Egg Pro Shop. This is a
great
little
stuff.
Bit of an ad. Great stuff. Meg has outdone herself. She has like got that thing chock full to the gills. I am personally very partial to the gnome hat. We have a gnome hat. It might be themed towards the first major of the year where we discovered, you know, gnomes might be, you know, sides that your swingers. So get your swinger hat. And the gnome hat. On top of that, I think the Mackenzie long sleeve, it's like a Mackenzie in America, and it's got a map with all of his courses that he designed. I think that's a pretty cool, personally, I think that's a pretty cool shirt. So I actually didn't see that till this morning when they went live, and I was like, oh, I need to get one of those. So check out the Pro Shop, proshop.thefriedegg.com. All right, let's get into what I had you prepare. There's not a lot going on. There's
not
really
a lot going on, guys.
Nothing going on this week. So I said, I wanted to know, what are your seven Masters favorites right now? Going in, you know, we're a couple weeks out.
Are we going 7-1 or 1-7?
Which way do you want to go? You're the guest.
I think we go 7-1.
That's how I thought too.
Yeah. All right. You want to start with 7?
I could start. I got Wyndham 7.
7?
Well, he hasn't played a Masters.
I mean, that is disrespectful to Wyndham Clark.
He
that
has
is
a
disrespectful to his
hey,
game.
Hold on.
You're leaning
how crazy,
solely on the
how,
history that it's been however many years since 79.
I mean, I look at it, who's ahead of him, and I don't know if he had played here and finished T40th once, I don't think I would have him that much higher than 7. 7's a respectful number for a guy that's never played in the Masters. How about 2 of the top 10 players in the world? I don't know if this has ever happened. 2 of the top 10 players in the world. Granted, like before the live bots come at me, I know that the OWGR is not as representative.
Got, this is all we got to talk about. We have no other way to talk about rankings. This is why we do
well,
OWGR.
Now one of these obscure offshoot rankings is going to say, well, you could talk about our rankings. So anyways, 2 of the top 10 players in the world, whether it's asterisk or not, Ludwig and Wyndham haven't played ever at the Masters. Has that ever happened? Two of the top 10 players in the world going into a Masters, have they ever not played a Masters? Has there ever been one, let alone 2?
I mean, it's no 7 Kevins in one field, but it is pretty crazy to think about that. Again, like you said, maybe they're 2 of the top 18 players in the world when you bring in the live guys, or 2 of the top 15 guys in the world, but still crazy to think about that these guys have never played in a Masters before.
All right, so who's your number 7, since mine was so disrespectful? I thought it was respectful they made the list.
All right, so look, I got to say something to you real quick before we get deep into my numbers. Now, I'm a Rory McIlroy fan. Love Rory McIlroy. I love him as a human being. I love him as a golfer. I don't know what he could do to make me not love the guy. I also understand that Rory McIlroy occasionally listens to this podcast and may or may not shout this podcast out on television shows that get millions of views. So maybe this is motivation on my end. Maybe this whole point is to put something in Rory's box to get him fired up. Rory McIlroy is not in my seven. Did not make my seven.
Oh, my God.
Not in my seven.
You're yelling at me about Wyndham Clark being seven?
Wyndham Clark's the second best golfer in the world right now. Rory McIlroy is making more double bogeys than like any good player in the world.
You know what I'm into? I'm in on what's going on with Rory right now. You know why?
Okay.
The explosive plays are back.
Listen, I agree with that 100%. He's making a lot of birdies.
I want the birdies. You can coach away the bogeys. You can't teach
doubles, though, man. There's so many doubles out there.
Clean some stuff up. Do you want him playing his best golf at the Players, or you want him playing his best golf in April?
Well, I mean, I want him to play his best golf in April. I want him to win the Masters. Like, I mean, I can't root for players to win the Masters.
All right.
I want Rory McIlroy to win the Masters. So, like I said, put
it
on your bulletin
board. Is he your honorable mention?
No, he's not in my honorable mention. He's made more doubles and as we sit in the middle of March than he made all of 2023. More doubles already this season. He's making enormous mistakes. It was the irons a few weeks ago. It was the driver at the Players. So again, I hope this is motivation if he's ever needed it before. Like, who knows what the prep is for Rory McIlroy? Not in my seven. Prove me wrong. God, I hope I'm wrong. My
the
number seven.
The explosives are back.
My number seven, next to Rory, not an honorable mention, is a guy you love, a guy you follow, a take you floated for years that's now become popular. My number seven is Jordan Spieth.
Unbelievable. You put just a guy ahead of Rory.
I'm putting him on there simply because of this fact. Jordan can be playing great, and he plays great at the Masters. He can be playing like total garbage, and he plays great at the Masters. This is a guy that has two top four finishes in his last three Masters starts, obviously to go with how well he played to start it all out. When Jordan drives down the road, as we've seen with so many players in the past at Augusta, he finds his game. I can't leave Jordan Spieth off the list when I'm talking about the Masters. So Spieth's number seven.
All right. My number six is Hideki.
Number six. I think it's a little low for me, but I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at.
A little low. I mean, like,
Masters champion who's playing exceptional golf as of late.
There's three guys that have to be like one, two, and three.
I've got one, two. Well, I mean, Rory's not on my list, so I guess that's
I'm taking Rory out of it. Even and saying there's three guys, so like there aren't that many spots. We did seven. It's like I've got him like 15th. You're reacting. He's number six. Hideki. He's playing great golf. He's incredible. Another top 10 last week. Obviously he had the win at Riv. He's won here, and I just think he's in the best form we've seen for a long time. So
I would agree with that. He's playing as good as since he won the Masters. So I think that's a good one to have in there. I had Joaquin Niemann as my next up.
Great golf. So you got this guy. You got a guy that's never had a top 10 in a major ahead of a guy that's top 10 in seven of the last eight majors.
Listen, Joaquin Niemann's progression at Augusta National is how these things work. You learn this golf course. You learn how to play it. Every time he's played the Masters, he's improved. Missed the cut in 2018, tie for 40th in 2021, tie for 35th in 22, tie for 16th last year, has a couple of live wins this year. By the way, I was looking up Joaquin Niemann. Andy, you'll appreciate this maybe more than anybody that I know, I think is probably fair to say. Do you know Niemann won six Chilean tour titles as an amateur? Not one, not two, six. That's incredible.
It's amazing. I mean,
his amateur wins are, it's, he has like 100 amateur wins that are like, that like matter.
I remember watching him as like a 17-year-old in the Western Am at Knollwood Club. And I was mesmerized at how good he was. It was like bona fide. This guy is unbelievable. And I had heard of him, you know, before that week, but like, obviously I'd never seen him. That's like, again, another point. You should go to the Western Am. I watched Minwoo Lee and Nick Hardy play a match years ago, and Minwoo was unreal. I remember watching Cameron Champ up close for the first time there and seeing him hit, you know, he was hitting at 20 short of 400 yard par fours. I mean, it was crazy. So I would recommend going to the Western Am. But yeah, Neiman's amateur career was unreal.
Who do you have next?
All right, before we get there, let's do a little break for our sponsor.
Okay.
Blackjack.
Okay.
You've gone on
beef jerky, by the way. Is this what you guys ate when you guys were in Ireland the whole time?
That's what I was gonna talk about. So yeah, they are beef jerky. And you know, when you're on these golf trips, like my schedule is you know, you wake up before hour or two or hour and a half before sunrise, get ready, get out there, shoot. Then you're like playing golf after you shoot. And a lot of times we're running right over lunch, sometimes not eating breakfast. We went 4 days in a row without eating lunch. You know what sustained us? You know what kept us upright, kept us going? Blackjack beef jerky. This stuff's really good. It is like homemade stuff. It is a small brand that is doing like, you know, good shit. It has lower sodium content than most brands. It's 33 grams of protein per bag. That's a, you know, as you can see, you eat a bag of that, it's like eating lunch. You know, 33 grams of protein is gonna keep you going. You know, it's perfect afternoon snack, perfect snack to just keep around. You know, you have these bags, they have a 18-month shelf life. You could just keep them in your golf bag. That's what I did. I just threw a bunch in my golf bag, and then I'd be on the golf course. I'd be like, oh man, I haven't eaten anything yet today. I better eat some jerky. This is great. It's a great snack food. This guy, Jimmy, the founder is a golf nut. He's so into golf. We've been working on this deal for like a year. He's been so excited to do this. If you use the discount code SHOTGUN, you will get 20% off a single bag or three bag purchase. If you do a five bag purchase, it'll be 20% off plus free shipping. So use the promo code SHOTGUN. It's Blackjack Beef Jerky. You can find it online.
Andy, what's your morning at home? What's your morning like ritual in terms of food? Are you a big breakfast guy? Are you simple? I know you do the AG1 stuff in the morning as well, but like, what are you a breakfast guy or are you like,
I am.
Okay.
I like doing smoothies. It's my favorite. Personally, it's like, get spinach, frozen banana, almond butter, dates. That's kind of my go-to smoothie. What about
great
you?
For kids too, because then you have breakfast for everybody. Basically, is what I like to say when you do the smoothie.
Our daughter is just gone. Not, you know, you make her smoothies now, and you know, if you put blueberries in it, it's too blue. If you don't put them in it, it's too banana-y. She's gotten quite picky. It's not going well. The smoothie for my child is not going well.
Egg, turkey, bacon in the morning is basically what we rotate through.
Yeah, I like going egg, turkey, bacon too. This morning I had a little leftover steak. I went with a steak, an egg omelet. Quite good. Peppers, nice. Onions. That was a good breakfast. Hey, my number five.
Yep.
My number five is Victor.
Interesting.
He's off this year.
Hadn't played good.
I don't like what's going on with Victor. Don't like the vibes. Feel like he's got some bad attitude out there. But his major championship success last year is carrying the day here, getting him to number five for me.
My number five was Hideki. I had him slightly ahead of where you had Hideki. So Hideki's in my top five. When you play well at Augusta, you play well at Augusta. I mean, that's kind of the recipe for this place. So we've seen him put on displays before.
All right. I go number four. I got I got Rory.
Okay. You're
the guy that's not on your list. I'm still going to keep number four because he's arguably the most talented golfer in the world. And I think it's a better time before it happens at Augusta. So
when is over the stretch of the Rory drought? in terms of the Masters, not obviously across the scope in terms of majors, because I feel like we were both pretty high on him at St. Andrews, whatever, a year and a half ago. Which Masters, if you can remember the year or even just the situation, do you feel like you were the most confident with Rory headed into Augusta? Did you have
honestly, like last year, I thought he was going to play great.
Yeah.
What about you?
It was probably the Bay Hill year. I feel like I felt really good about him going in. Bay Hill was really it was super tough when he won that year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I just feel like going in that week, I had a lot of confidence in Rory there. I mean,
you could go back to like 2015, and there was a lot of reason to have like the highest confidence because, you know, he was fresh off like four majors in a short time frame, right? I think it's like those years right after that versus now. It's, you know, what I just think with how well he's played in majors the last 2 years, he has to be on this list. What about you, number four?
So number four, I have a two person number four because I just feel like it's a level of unknown.
Is it 3A and 3B or
it's 4A and 4B? It's Rahm and Brooks.
Do you have eight players?
It's Rahm and Brooks here because of two.
So you have eight players on your list.
Some 7A and 7B.
Wait, hold on a second. So you said Hideki was too low for me, but he's actually sixth on your list. You have two fours. And he's sixth on my list.
Same number as yours. Well, okay.
I just want to point that out, that he's the same exact position.
Well, I'm an idiot. I mean, you know that. What are we doing here? I haven't had a math class since like 11th grade in high school. What do you think I'm going to do over here? Rahm, Brooks are tied on my fourth or third, however you want to do it.
Oh, wait. Do they occupy three and four?
No.
There's a three. No. There's a three.
There's a three.
Okay.
I mean, if there was ever a podcast, I could have eight names for seven spots. I feel like I've been this one. So.
I love it. I love it. We should have had you go first since you had eight names.
The reason I have them together is I just have no clue. Like, Brooks hasn't played good this year. I think Rahm's played well. I was looking at the LIV website on stats. It is not great if you want to look at the way the guys have played. Brooks has not played good. I mean, I know that.
What's your favorite stat on there?
Let me pull it up right here. The LPGA side. Oh, the first stat on LIV is fairways hit percentage, which is just very random. Not green and reg or anything like that. The second stat is just total birdies. Rahm's leading. Rahm and Neiman have 62 total birdies for the year.
You're not a birdie enthusiast like me.
you love birdies.
I just think birdies are like a, you know what? If you're making a lot of birdies, that means you're hitting the ball good.
All right, so then you got eagles, which seems like you probably don't need that stat, sure. Bryson's leading, got five eagles. Scrambling, greens in regulation, and then putting average. Those are the stats on the website.
Putting average might be the worst stat on there.
Well, it says GIR putts 321. Like, cool. Awesome. Don't know how many events they played or any of that stuff, but that's the roundhouse of stats on their website. I have no idea what these two guys. They could win the Masters. They could not play well. I feel like it's not a LIV thing. You don't see them play a lot of golf, and they hadn't played a lot of competitive golf. So, like, how can you honestly summarize these guys' years and put them in a place to be successful in the first major? Andy, I feel like after the first major, it's a little easier to place these guys. I feel like last year was the same way, right? Brooks was close in the Masters. He didn't get it done, but you knew he had kind of had the game to compete in a major championship. But to go back to the Open into this event and not really see him play a ton of golf, it's just hard for me to have him higher than this.
All right. Yeah. My next guy's Brooks at three.
Okay.
And he's here because
3A or 3B? Ridiculous.
3A.
Okay. Why? Now let me ask you an honest question.
3B is Phil Mickelson.
Phil almost won last year. Let me ask you a question about this. Like, what? Why do you have Brooks so high? And I mean, I'm assuming it's because he's so good at major championships, but
I like because Yeah, because he has five major championships. Okay. And because he was awesome in majors last year. And at this point, I'm done doubting that he's going to be not be awesome at majors. He's healthy. And if he's as long as he's healthy, he's shown that he's going to play really well in major championships. And he's played like extraordinarily well. He's probably played as well as anybody at the Masters without winning a Masters. So I'm going to have Brooks 3. I could easily convince myself to put him to 1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just, again, I kind of go back to I have no clue the level of form he's in. He hasn't played good this year in tournaments he's played in, and he's actually gotten progressively worse in LIV events if you look at it. He's played worse throughout the year on LIV. He didn't play well at Hong Kong. So
I think that guy is so checked out of LIV.
I don't disagree with you on this. I don't disagree with you on this at all. All I'm saying is the last time he maybe has played golf that he cared about was the Ryder Cup, and that's assuming he really cares about the Ryder Cup, right?
And he's 9-7.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that was it. So again, like, major championship golf brings a new guy out. We all know that. We all know Brooks could win any major. I just, again, I can't have him higher than some of these other guys that
Where's
I know.
Where's Phil on your list?
Phil didn't make Phil didn't make my list. Do you make yours?
He's 3B.
Okay, Phil. Hey, I have a question for you. If you had to put $50,000 of your dollars on this, Phil or Spieth to win another major, which one do you think you'd put it on?
Oh my God. I mean, I think I have to go with Spieth just because of opportunities.
I agree. Phil's been way closer, I feel like, to win a major over the last few years, and
yes,
also obviously won a major over the last few years.
I mean, he's not going to play the U.S. Open this year, right? Unless he gets
so.
Like a special exemption.
And are they going to give him? That. Yeah, they're not going to. I don't think they're going to give him one.
I mean, he did almost win the last time it was at Valhalla.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, well, no, he'll be in the PGA,
yeah,
right?
Because he's the Kiwa. Yeah,
it's just U.S. Open. I mean, he obviously is almost won there, you know. So I mean,
he's in the Open
too. And he's in the Open.
He could win an Open.
Now you're swaying the other way. Now you're not sure where you're going to go.
Last time it was at Valhalla, you almost won. Last time it was at Troon, you almost won. Last time it was at Augusta, you almost won.
There you go. So maybe the answer's Phil here. Who knows?
So Phil's actually my number one.
Okay, perfect. There you go. My number three is Wyndham Clark, a person that you had 7 on your list. I know the history around here is not great. There's only been 3 players ever to win their first start at a Masters. When the last time it happened, it was 79. His game seems to translate everywhere. Everywhere he's played well and came close to winning. They're very different tests and very different golf courses. He's 25th off the tee in strokes gained, 10th in approach, 68th around the greens, 9th in tee to green, 2nd total on the PGA Tour. And the one stat he's not great in terms of like where he sits and everything else, is putting. And if we've learned anything over the years about Augusta National and the Masters, you don't have to be a great putter to win the Masters. So,
I think he is a good putter, though.
I agree with you on that. I'm just saying statistically, the stats aren't great this year for his putting.
Yeah, yeah. Anecdotally, I saw Data Golf did this like this thing on that they said he could have cost himself like 2/10 of a stroke on Saturday when he dropped. It was in their newsletter on the tee rather than go to the drop.
But he
area.
Made 4.
I know, like, this is where the data doesn't get me,
right?
Because it's like if you're more comfortable with the one shot and it's a wedge, or the other shot that's a wedge, take the more comfortable wedge. You're like, without a doubt, going to hit a better shot if you're more comfortable with it, right?
Andy, you're a good player. Let me ask you a question. To that front left pin, are you running to rip sand wedge or rip gap wedge, or are you trying to go to the drop zone that makes it a short-sided shot and trying to clip something 65 yards? It's like, I'd run to hit the full shot too.
I do not. This is where like the data sometimes loses me, is like, I can't. You got to like, just do whatever you're more comfortable with. If you like that little wedge, go do the little wedge. Some players like hitting like little wedges. Like if you like that, hit that shot. It should just be comfort.
I'm just saying, as a right-handed golfer, I'm a lefty, but as a right-handed golfer, I would much rather have to hit a full wedge shot to the front left hole location on 17.
Yeah.
Then take the drop that's left of the green, short, and where you've got a shorter window to land it in, and also you can't really manipulate the spin as well to the hole.
That's the other thing. The backboard is like a more of a sideboard
for sure.
When you go to that drop area, it's not a, it's not like the off the, it's, you know, it's like basically a backboard for any shot that is somewhat on target, as opposed to like a sideboard that, you know, you can't use it as well.
Yep. Yep. Who's your number two?
Number two, I've got Rahm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I need to. He's the defending champion. Has he? He's leading live in birdies. There's my stat. I didn't know that. Then go to the live stats page. So there's my stat. He's leading lives and live in
birdies.
Throw
it in there.
I do think it'll be intrusive or instructive with Brooks and Rahm, how they play at Doral.
You think so?
Well, Brooks won Crooked Cat last year before he came to Augusta. It was a sign that I think, like, you've seen, like, Brooks seems to play, always seems to play well the week before his major wins. Like, I remember, where was it, Trinity Forest? He finished fourth before he won that PGA. Another U.S. Open, I want to say he finished fourth right before he won one. So he usually plays well before majors if he's going to be in form.
Okay.
Because I feel like he does take that week before a major seriously.
My number two is probably going to surprise you. But I think it's, I've really thought about this guy this year, and I feel like if it's going to happen potentially.
Is it Ollie?
No. By the way, the moment you said it, I thought Schneider Jans first, and I was like, oh no, that's not who he's talking about. I think this guy has a legitimately good chance at contending at this Masters. It's Jason Day. Playing really solid golf.
I love it. I think it might be a reach at two.
Yep.
He might have been like on eight or nine for me.
Well, you should have had some Bs and you could have included them. Should have had some A's and B's. When he's playing good golf, Andy, he plays well at Augusta. That's kind of the bottom line. Four top five finishes in his career. He seems to be playing some really, really good golf as of late. And he's just been competitive a lot. And that's all I'm looking for is, are you competitive in the lead up? And if you're competitive in the lead up in any capacity and you don't just completely fall off the planet. And I feel like, again, I feel like Jason Day's golf game has always seemed to translate well at the Masters.
He was playing great last year and then he got vertigo.
Is that right? Before the Masters?
No, during it. During the second round or something. I remember he got vertigo and that kind of derailed him. He was playing great last year. I remember because Brendan got out of the media center and trucked it out there, and he played like the last four or five over. Ruined his story. He went out to do a Jason Day story, and he played the last four holes five over or something.
By the way, there's nothing more discombobulating than when you leave the media center at the Masters without your phone or any tech, and you go out to follow something, and it doesn't go the way you wanted it to, and you have no idea where to go, who to go follow, who's making a run, who's doing something cool. It's like, you just need to go back. You got to go back to the media center and it's a good reminder that we are so connected, right? That we need these phones for so much.
You know what my advice would be? Go out there with no clue what you're going to do and find it.
There you go. Look at you. The answers are in the dirt. You're in the dirt right now.
Yeah.
You're so
I go there. I dig around in the dirt. Dig around in the kitty litter. The answers in the kitty litter.
Your pass might get revoked after this podcast. We'll see.
What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
I mean, they're due, by the way, they are due for good weather. I mean, it's been so awful the last few years.
Good weather and due for a good Masters. Like, think about the last great Masters we've had. I mean, they've kind of been blowouts as of late.
Tiger
was the last great one.
That was a great Masters.
Great Masters. Great Masters.
Feels kind of like yesterday, but it was like
5 years ago.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
By the way, I do this every year around the Masters, so I'll do it again. And I was doing some number looking at it recently, but I go back and look at like the most viewed replays on Masters YouTube page. 2019 has like so many more than the next best. It's crazy. and it was like recent. You know, it's not 97, it's not 01, it's not 05. It's like 2019. People go back and watch a lot.
That was a great master. It was a great final round. That's the other thing, is like 97 was not a great final round.
Right.
2019 was a great final round.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. My number one is Scott Scheffler. What a big surprise.
I mean, are we to the point, Andy? There's been a lot of hyperbole about this guy. Are we to the point where would you be surprised if he doesn't win? Or is he not there yet?
Shane, have you ever changed? Have you ever made a switch when you were having a problem and had it work for a little while and then not start working? Like, I feel like everybody's running to make the take that the putting solved.
Right.
And like, have we not learned from our own golf games? Like, sometimes like you get a new club in and it works for a while, but it doesn't alleviate the at root problem. There was clearly something wrong at the core of Scheffler's stroke. And I heard Faxon talking about how this putter is getting him to stand up a little bit taller. Yep. And that could really help his stroke. I'm not fully in on the putting being cured because he had two good weeks. And like, I'm all in on Scottie Scheffler being the without a doubt favorite. I probably will pick him, but I think that we need to slow down a little bit on declaring him like his putting solved. There was an issue with his putting, and I think a lot of times with putting, what happens is like you get a new look, you get really comfortable, you love it, and then at some point you have like a high leverage miss that was the exact same miss that you used to struggle with, totally. And it's back.
Totally. I mean, like the interesting thing too, Andy, is like we're talking about the NCAA tournament. And, you know, like I go back to the UConn Kimba team, right? With like how good that team was rolling from MSG into the tournament, and they make that run and they win the national championship, right? If the Masters was this week, I think it would be very easy for us to say he's just going to keep rolling. But the fact that there is a little bit of a break for Scotty, and again, who knows what the work looks like in the background? I'm sure it's substantial, but it's not rolling back into what has been working two straight weeks. So if there is any issues that pop up, it could be, you know, a 3-week layoff. Maybe there are some things that pop up in that. Again, I think if the Masters was this week, I think I would probably feel like it was inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing is, you know, we're still a ways away. I think an interesting thing to watch just with this is like how guys are going to pace their prep. Yep. I think like some guys may not play from the Players till the Masters. And I think that's a mistake. I think you got to get something in the 2 weeks leading up. But the way they set up the schedule, there's none of these, you know, mandatory plays, the designated signatures. The designated signatures.
That's what's going to be in 25. Have be hyphenated.
Yeah.
Just perfect. I think it's a good point. I know Rory's playing the week before, I believe.
Valero, yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming there's going to be a decent field at that event just to kind of get reps in. But
I mean,
I'm
all the Texas the Texas guys got to be playing in that, yeah. Right? Because it's just so easy for them.
But it is a big break. I mean, it's a great point to bring up is like when you're looking at who you like at the Masters, look at who has been playing golf. And not to make a joke of Liv, but the fact that Liv has an event right before the Masters is smart. It's very smart to have that. Again, because Liv is mandatory golf, right? Like you've got to play in those events, and you are going to get some tournament reps in, you know, before you get to Augusta. And that's obviously worked out pretty well for Koepka in the last couple of years.
Could you imagine going to the Masters if you played the Players and you didn't play before the Masters, and you're
so
standing on the first tee and you hadn't played tournament golf in a month?
Yeah, it's like 3.5 weeks off, and you're just like, all right, here we go. Let's get back into literally the most important week on the golf calendar.
Some of these guys are going to do that, and one of them is going to be like shoot 6 under after the first round. We're going to be like, what a freak.
Or Andy, on the other end of that is one of these guys is going to shoot 74 in the first round and then play 3 rounds that were good enough to win the Masters if they hadn't shot 74 on Thursday. You know, it's going to be like they stumble a little bit, they make a big number somewhere, it's a little bit loose, and then they lock back in on Friday, and they're going to look back on Thursday going, you know, if I kind of like Tiger in 97, it's like, Well, if you don't shoot 40 on the front and you know, you turn around and shoot 30, if you just shoot a good round on that back on the second nine and shoot 35, it's 75, you know, and then all of a sudden you're looking up the leaderboard.
All right. That's Shane Bacon. What do you got going on this week? We were going to do golf advice, but of course we're at minute 59 here. And
do you have one? Can you do one?
I gotta go. I got my entire family waiting for me. I told them I was gonna be done 15 minutes ago. So.
Sorry,
it's okay.
I think it's my B player that really threw us off.
It was. You know, we prepped seven. If you had prepped seven, if you had followed the rules and prepped seven,
you'd be with your family right now.
No, we would have done a golf advice.
That's a bummer. I was looking forward to it.
I know. Well, maybe you'll get to do golf advice soon.
I have nothing going on. Just preparing for KFT the week before the Masters, and then Masters, I'll be at Augusta, seeing your face. So
all right, see you in Augusta.